Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, October the 9th. And as I was telling you the last couple of days, we're in a bit of a heat wave. You know, we've had some warm days here in the Dallas area. But I think the temperatures will be coming down next week. I think it'll be more like the fall next week. For some reason, we had this little crazy diversion, if you will, whatever the word is, from fall. We just kind of took this step back to summer, but I think we'll be okay next week as the temperatures get back into more middle of October temperatures, which is, as I've said many times, it's the best time of the year here in North Texas is really the fall, because it's just so beautiful. You don't get all the crazy rain and tornadoes that you get in the spring. It's just great. I mean, this time of the year around here, it's just absolutely the best. Well, today we're going to talk about a little bit more about the Pence and Harris debate. I think there's a lot of people talking about that debate. And, you know, 60 million people watched it, from what I understand. Makes it either the first or the second biggest audience for a vice presidential debate. Most of the time, the vice presidential debate is kind of an afterthought, because most people, after all, you know, you vote for the number one guy. You know, the number two person may or may not have influence on the ticket. I think sometimes it confirms what you already like about the first or the top person. Or sometimes, you know, it doesn't have any impact on how you feel about the first person. I mean, you've got a couple of interesting examples about that. In 1988, then Vice President Bush selected Dan Quayle as vice president. I never really understood it, I have to tell you. I was surprised. I thought he was going to pick Jack Kemp, who I thought would have been a perfect fit for Bush. Because he would have, you know, he would have really connected with the conservative base, the Reagan base, really, that maybe was a little disenchanted with Bush. I don't know. But I think Jack Kemp would have been a fantastic number two. But he selected Dan Quayle. And, you know, I think most people probably reacted the way I did. But at the end of the day, it didn't really impact my choice because I voted for Bush. Even though I didn't think Quayle was the best of the picks, I would have been happier with Kemp. Even McCain, when McCain selected, Sarah Palin. Gosh, for a minute there, I forgot. Sarah Palin. I wasn't crazy about that pick either. I didn't think she added that much to the ticket. I mean, I know, obviously, a woman, a conservative woman, a governor of a state, but I felt that he would have been better off picking somebody like Mike Huckabee or even Mitt Romney. I thought would have been a better choice back then. But anyway, it turned out the way it did. The Sarah Palin selection had no impact on the vote. McCain would have probably lost the election anyway. This year, I think there's something different about the selections for VP. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that we have two of the oldest men ever to seek the presidency. You've got, on one hand, President Trump, who's 74, and he's just gone through COVID. And even though he's doing great, seems to be recovering great, and we pray that his recovery continues as well as it's going. I heard him on the radio today on Rush Limbaugh. I mean, he sounds great. He sounds absolutely great, fully energetic. Sounds like the Trump of 2015. He sounds like they just gave him a tune-up, and he's out, at full speed. But you never know. You never know. On the other hand, you've got a man who will be 78 right after Election Day. He would be the oldest president ever to assume the office. And, I think he doesn't look that good either, which is a fact. So I think a lot of people are looking at these two men, you know, at these two people, Harris and, and, and Pence may be a little bit different, and that's why maybe there was so much interest in the debate. So, you know, based on what we're hearing, it looks like Pence had a much better night, and I think he did, no question about it. Harris, according to some of the polls and some of the reactions that we're getting, came across as a bit abrasive, a bit condescending. I have to tell you, ideology aside, let's put the ideology aside for a second. I thought she looked like a little bit of a phony. You know, she was trying to, it's almost like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, you know, the girl who's putting on a personality to impress the guy she's going out with. That's kind of the way she came across. I don't think that's who she really is. I don't know her personally or anything like that, but it just doesn't seem like anybody could be that way. And I think a lot of Americans picked up on that because they didn't find her that attractive on television as a political figure. So I think Pence won the day, and I think he helped in this particular case. I think he clearly helped Donald Trump, President Trump, with his performance. We'll see how it goes, but you know, a lot of the things that Harris said the other night have come back to haunt her a little bit. Her remarks about Abraham Lincoln and the little Supreme Court story turned out to be false. I mean, I was just looking at it today. It turned out to be false. That never, you know, that's not the way it happened. The reason that Abraham Lincoln or President Lincoln did not present his choice is because the Senate was not in session. It had nothing to do with the way she explained it the other night. So she got caught on that one, and a few other things too. But again, I think people were interested in this one, and I think no question in my mind that Mike Pence did a heck of a lot better job here than Kamala Harris, and we'll see how it goes. But we're going to look at some debates right now. I don't know if there's going to be debates or not. We're going to look at it, but I hope that President Trump looked at Mike Pence and picked up a couple of tips. I mean, he's never going to be Mike Pence, different personality, I know. But one of the great things that Mike Pence did the other night, something that President Trump did not do in his first debate, is he should let Biden talk. Because Biden is a walking disaster when he's talking. And just get out of the way, because he will figure out some way of messing it up. And I think the other night, by constantly jumping in, President Trump actually helped Joe Biden. I mean, he could have just sat there and had Biden completely fall apart on the Green Deal, on lots of other things that he couldn't explain. So I hope he learned that lesson. I hope he learned that lesson from Mike Pence. You know, Mike Pence was brilliant at just sitting back and letting the other person talk. And I think Donald Trump needs to pick that up. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. As I said, a little warm today, but hopefully a change is coming next week. I sure hope so. Well, Nancy Pelosi what an embarrassment she is, I think, really. Now she's talking about the 25th Amendment and creating a commission to look into the 25th Amendment. Well, that's not the way the 25th Amendment works. I mean, somebody needs to read the amendment to Nancy Pelosi so that she understands how it works. The Congress is not the one that initiates the 25th Amendment. Now, the Congress could participate with the executive, but usually what happens is, I guess there's two scenarios under the 25th Amendment. One is, like, for example, if the president suffers a stroke, let's say, and he's incapacitated, cannot function. He's alive, but, you know, he's not functionable as a president. And in that case, the 25th Amendment would replace the president. Simply, you know, he would be declared incapable of physically doing his duties. And then, you know, Pence would become president. Pence would become the acting as well as the president of the United States. The other option is if the president is sick, as was the case with President Reagan back in 1985 when he had that operation. And I don't remember how long he was out, but I think it may have been a couple of days when then Vice President Bush became the acting president. And of course, you have to have an acting president because he's the commander in chief and he's the only one who can, you know, literally fire the nuclear missiles. He's the only one who can approve the launching of nuclear missiles. So you have to have an acting president in a situation like that. And then Vice President Bush was the acting president. And that's, you know, that's perfectly normal within the 25th Amendment. But the 25th Amendment is not to settle political scores, which is what Nancy Pelosi is trying to do. And I think she's a total, complete embarrassment. And I don't know why she's doing it. I suspect she's doing it because she's getting a lot of pressure from the left wing of her party. The left wing is just driving the party further and further to the left. And as I've said many times, if I was the Democrat, I would be praying for the total, complete defeat of the Democrats this November so that this entire left wing that has taken over the party can just be literally wiped out. And maybe they can go out and form their own party, and then a more centrist Democratic Party can emerge so that we would have a Democrat Party and a Republican Party more in the center so that they can get things done. But as long as the Democrats are run by this crazy left-wing, hysterical left-wing mob, you're going to have Nancy Pelosi do stupid things like this, like the 25th Amendment. I mean, this is embarrassing that we're talking about the 25th Amendment just to settle political scores. I mean, I'm sorry. I just think it's embarrassing that she's engaging in that kind of politics. Well, we have we got some sad news today. Whitey Ford, who was one of the great Yankees of all time, a pitcher, who was on those great Yankee teams that went to the World Series, you know, over a dozen times from 1947 to 1964. The Yankees were in the World Series, I believe, all but 3 years. I mean, it's just amazing. And Whitey Ford was pretty much their number one guy during all that time. And Whitey Ford passed away today. He was 91. He was about to turn 92 next week, so he was 91. So Whitey Ford, I mean, I never saw him pitch in person. I did remember seeing him on TV a couple of times. He retired in 64, so I think I may have seen him pitch in the 64 World Series on television. But just a great guy, just an absolutely great guy. Maybe one of the last players remaining of those great Yankee teams. You know, Manuel is gone, Yogi is gone, Elston Howard. You know, I don't know all of them, but certainly all, you know, many of the big names are gone from those great teams. John Lennon was born on this day in 1940. He was born in Liverpool, of course. He went on to become John of the Beatles and then had a solo career that was never really as good as what they did with the Beatles. I always felt that John Lennon's best stuff was done with the Beatles. I really do. Paul had some great songs as a solo artist, but John was never as good on his own as he was with the Beatles. So John Lennon, who, of course, was assassinated in 1980. And Che Guevara, you know, if you see a little left-winger today wearing a Che Guevara shirt, remind him that Che Guevara was captured and executed on this day in 1967. And that was a good day for freedom. That was a good day for freedom because Che Guevara was not about freedom or justice. He was just a criminal who assassinated a bunch of people and that met justice on this day in 1967 down in the jungles of Bolivia. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.